Certainly, as we enjoy this day and the beauty of the sunshine and the relative warmth in temperatures and compared to what we had just a few days ago, we're very thankful for the opportunity to be alive and to be here and to be with one another. As we sing of our hope of that fair and happy land, by and by we realize that there are those that in this life and at this time, perhaps in your life, your things are not fair and happy, things are going to get better. And the Lord has promised that He'll never leave us or forsake us. There's always comfort in knowing that we can take our cares to Him. There's always comfort in knowing that we can lean on one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. That I believe the relationship that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ is sometimes even stronger than the relationship that we have with our own physical family. And it's wonderful to be able to confide in one another and to comfort one another. Of course, this week, many thoughts are being directed toward family and family things and traditions and those types of things with Thanksgiving week upon us now. Debbie and I are planning to leave Wednesday for Ohio and return back to Bowling Green on Saturday. Possibility we might leave Tuesday. My parents have moved, and they might need some help. Right now they say no, but we'll see. But anyway, we'll probably be gone at least Wednesday through Saturday. I'd like for you, if you have your New Testaments with you, you might want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. We are going to be using verses from those two chapters in our lesson this morning. You'll remember that the occasion for writing the content of these two chapters was really to encourage the church at Corinth to participate in the contribution that was being raised, the benevolence that was being raised for the needy saints in Jerusalem. And Paul is encouraging them to have prepared beforehand, before he comes, to have their benevolence ready. And he's encouraging them indeed to participate in this benevolence. And so as we begin here with 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "This I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply the and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything with all liberality, which causes thanksgiving, through us to God. For the administration of this service," meaning this benevolence that is being taken up, "not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because you are exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for in this indescribable gift." It's interesting how he uses the illustration of sowing and reaping You know, if you want to have a big crop of corn, then you don't plant a little garden of corn. You plant on a lot of ground with a lot of seed. And so if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Of course, he's not talking about growing a crop. He's talking about your blessings, and you are being blessed to bless. I want us to notice here a couple of things in particular. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Why would someone not give? People generally don't give because they're trying to protect themselves. Well, I have needs too. What God is saying to us here is that you can't outgive me. That as I behold your giving, I'm going to bless you. That as you sow seed, I'm going to give you more seed to sow. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Why? That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound for every good work. So, is there anything that God is going to withhold from us to do His good work? No, that's what He's saying here. He is going to give exceedingly abundantly everything that we need so that we can be a blessing to others, but ultimately a blessing to Him. You'll notice as we come down here to verse 11, He says, you are enriched in everything. So keep it to yourself? No. You are enriched for everything, in everything, for all liberality, to disperse it liberally to others who are in need. Notice also, he talks about our liberal sharing. Not our conservative sharing, but our liberal sharing of these things. So as we consider this, we realize that he's talking about the fact that we are to be giving of what he has blessed us with. And so kind of a little play on words and a little bit of different kind of seasonal Thanksgiving lesson, that we are to be giving people, and we are to think of our giving as a thank you. Thank you, God, for supplying me with everything that I have so that I might give it to others to bless them and ultimately to bless you. That is a theme that runs throughout this verse. It is something that he brings to the attention of the brethren at Corinth and has been preserved to bring to our attention to basically say to us, you don't need to be concerned about giving more than you're able. God says, I'm going to take care of you. I will supply you. You will always have all sufficiency in all things. You know, I know a lot of times when we come to this time of the year and Thanksgiving, we're talking about, well, thank you, God, for blessing me with the things that I've been blessed with this year and in my life and those types of things. And that's certainly, we could present a lesson or a couple of lessons along those lines as well. But it just occurs to me that God has blessed us that we might be a blessing to others. And that's what he's saying here. It's what he's encouraging the Corinthians in. So, the grateful Christian, first and foremost, gives himself to God. And you'll remember that as we come back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as he begins this line of instruction to the church at Corinth here in encouraging them in this benevolence, he says, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So here he's talking about the Macedonians and how that they've participated in this benevolence. He's using them as an example to encourage the Corinthians to follow through with what they pledged they were going to do in regard to this benevolence. And he's concerned that the Corinthians are thinking, well, we can't give too much because then we won't have enough. And he uses the example of the Macedonians. He says, look, the Macedonians are poorer than you are. They don't have much of anything. But they have gave beyond their measure because they are rejoicing in their salvation in Christ and rejoicing in their brotherhood of which they are a part of now. They are more than happy to help their needy brothers in other places. They have set a great example for everyone to follow. But notice what motivated that level of monetary giving. He says they first gave themselves to the Lord. They did not give part of themselves. They gave all of themselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They're rejoicing in that. Notice also a very familiar passage to us, Romans chapter 12 in the first two verses. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God expects each and every one of us to give ourselves to Him. Present your body a living sacrifice. We could do a whole lesson just on that, couldn't we? And how that it's our body that had in which the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life abide, lives. But our spirit is to overwhelm that and learn to say no to the things of the flesh so that we might embrace the things of the spirit. Each of us are to give ourselves to the Lord, body, soul, and spirit, entirely to Him. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. That's what it means to give ourselves to Him. So we give ourselves to God. And then we give the things that He has given us in honor to Him, to honor Him. We're to give willingly and cheerfully. You'll remember in verse 12, it says, if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Does God require us to give beyond what we are able to give? No. God just says, look, just be reasonable. Have a willing mind. Are you willing to give what God has entrusted into your care to help others? And chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7 says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can application be made to the contribution that we take up every first day of the week? Certainly as it comes to this. And we realize that, well, okay, the contribution, that's one of the acts of worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's not something that's optional. It's something we must do, but we don't do it out of obligation. We give ourselves to the Lord. There is a willingness to do that. And there is a cheerfulness in giving, knowing that we are supporting the work of the Lord. It takes money to build a building and to pay for it, and to hire a preacher and all of those things, buy class material. We understand that. But can we think of anything better that we should be using our money for? There is a willing mind and there is a cheerfulness in giving. And so many times, as I said, we apply these passages to our giving on the first day of the week. But that's not the context in which this appears. The context in which this attitude of giving appears is not a context of our giving on the first day of the week. It's the giving to help others. As we see the need of others, and especially those of our brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a willingness to give, and there is a cheerfulness in giving and helping. The grateful Christian gives reasonably and fairly. Notice in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verses 13 and 14, he says, I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but an equality. That now, at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance may also supply your lack. That there may be an equality. Interesting play on words. He's talking about the Corinthians' monetary abundance was going to supply the monetary lacking of the needy saints in Jerusalem. So what abundance did those needy saints in Jerusalem have that the Corinthians needed? They had an abundance of need, which required an abundance of help. And the Corinthians, as they helped, were going to have a very good feeling about themselves and knowing that they were helping them and seeing the gratitude that they were going to receive. It was going to build up their production of faith. Not only, I believe, in Jerusalem, but even in Corinth and other places as others would be in need. Are you not encouraged when you help others and you see that you've supplied a need that could otherwise not be met, and you see the gratitude that comes back to you? That's what he's talking about here. The grateful Christian supplies what is needed. Again, we come back to 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 10 through 12. He says, now, he who supplies seed to the sower, that's God, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Remember, it's not really your money. God supplied you with that. And God has, if you will, sowed that seed to you so that you're going to sow it to others. What good is it to have a barn full of seed corn if you don't put it in the ground? That's what he's saying. And God is saying, what good is it to me to abundantly supply you and you not use that good for others? He says, you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I'm thankful that God has blessed me so that I can bless others. And as I bless others, they bless God too. They thank God too for that blessing. An abundance of thanksgiving. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And so we see how it supplies the needs to the saints when we supply that monetary need, don't we? But we also see how there's a spiritual fulfilling in this abundance of thanksgiving, that people are thankful for what they've received from you, knowing that God blessed you so that you could be a blessing to them. In James 2 and verses 14 through 16, James, I like James, he's pretty blunt. You know, you have to have a hard time misunderstanding James. Straightforward. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does that profit? Rhetorical question, right? So, I know that he's talking about faith, and your faith has to work. It's not just something you give mental assent to. It means that you do what God tells you to do. But look at the illustration that he uses. Somebody is naked, homeless, hungry. You say, wow. You're in bad shape. I hope things go well for you. And here you can help them with all of those things. And you don't, what good does that do? The grateful Christian sees what is needed and supplies what is needed. The grateful Christian is an example of love and righteousness in action. Can come back here to 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 12 through 14. He says, the administration of this service, this benevolent service, not only supplies the needs of the saints in Jerusalem, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God. They're glorifying God in their thanksgivings to God. For the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them to all men. And you'll notice the word men there is in italics. That means it was added by the people who are doing the translating this particular version. It is not in the original Greek. This has been a word of controversy. In the brotherhood, by saying that, well, we should have a soup kitchen and we should have a pantry, and we're to help all people, whether they're of the church or not of the church. And that's been answered a couple different ways, but I think the first answer that you need to understand is the context in which this is being said. They are thankful for your liberal sharing with them, the church at Jerusalem, and with all. Well, that could be all brethren, or all needy brethren. And I believe that it is, primarily. This is an action of the church. Paul is encouraging them to enter into, that they, as brethren of the church in Corinth, were to take this collection. It was an action they were to do corporately. And corporately, the church helps members of the church. Now, that's not to say that as an individual Christian, I don't have a responsibility to help members of the community who aren't members of the church. I can do that. I can certainly do that. But I do that representing me as a Christian, not the Southside Church of Christ. And so that's kind of an aside point there, but it's a point that needs to be made. The proof of this ministry, not only you, Corinth, giving to the needy saints at Jerusalem, but also their thankfulness to you for God blessing you, all of that is to the glory of God. God has supplied you with the ability to help them. They see that, and they're glorifying God for that, and the fact that you have given yourselves to God and that you love God and you love them. That's what God wants to be seen. The grateful Christian is then a channel through which God is thanked and glorified. Again, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." Not just thanks be to you and your abilities and your ability to make money and your ability to share what you have. No, thanks be to God. We realize from whom all these blessings come. Ephesians 3 and verses 20 through 21 says, "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That's the power of faith. We hear it, we believe it, we trust it, we obey it. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus in all generations forever and ever." He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we are able to conceive or think. And so when we realize that, in 2 Corinthians when he says, look, you can't outgive the one who's giving you. You cannot outgive me. I will supply you with what you need. But we don't see that abundant supply in our checking account or wherever. But we see a great need, and so we give a great deal to supply that need. And we might say, well, I'm not really sure how I'm going to, put food on my table next week, but I think we've got enough in supply to take care of that. And God says, don't worry about it. I'll bless you in that. So we trust him and we obey him. It's what God wants us to do. In Hebrews 13 and verse 16, it says, "Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Don't forget to do good. Don't forget to share. God is well pleased. He's going to take note of that. So we must first give ourselves to God. That's what this really all comes down to. That as I give myself to God and I consider all that he calls upon me to do, as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, thanking God for what he's blessed us with, let us realize that he has supplied that seed to the sower, not so that we keep the seed corn in the barn, but so that we get it out where it's going to be doing good to the glory of God. Let's be alert to that. This is a congregation of people that certainly understands all of these principles. There have been times in the past that we've had brethren in other parts of the country and other parts of the world who have suffered great tragedies, and we have given beyond our ability, I think, many times to help. Been a tremendous example. And we're to be, I believe God commends us for that. I believe his word verifies the fact that he commends us for that. But just be alert also that in your own life from day to day, that you might have the ability to help someone. Maybe, does not necessarily mean monetarily. Just to give of your time, to give of your abilities. And the gratitude that you'll see from others to you for being able to give of your time and to give of your ability. And they realize the blessings that are in you and the abilities that you have, and that God has blessed you and continues to bless you so that you might be a blessing to others and a blessing to Him. Rejoice in that. In this Thanksgiving season, don't let it be a Thanksgiving season. Let every day and every week, let all year, be a season that you are giving because of your thankfulness to God for what He has given for you. That He gave His Son for us to pay the price for our sins. And we're certainly grateful for that. And we're to reflect that gratitude in our being a blessing to Him. If you're here today and you haven't expressed your gratitude to God for the sacrifice that He made on behalf of your sins, but you're ready to do that today. You're ready to give yourself to God, to become a living sacrifice to His praise and honor and glory, to lay aside the man of sin and rise to walk in newness of life with Him. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the point that you're ready to turn to Him as you turn away from your sin. Confess Him as the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and abide in His Word from this day forward. If you're here today and a child of God and you recognize you're out of favor with God, you need to make correction in your life, let us pray with you and for you as we're instructed from His Word. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.